Karen Melby remembers when her husband, Scott, walked up to his sister and uttered these words.
Thanks for saving my life. And it was actually quite an emotional moment, and she got kind of teary, and I mean, he said it before, but that particular moment was just sweet. It was the sweet interaction between the two of them.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. Thanksgiving can transform the most terrible of circumstances. We started exploring that with Scott and Karen Melby yesterday. Scott was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. Through a painful process of treatment, he learned a lot about the transforming power of gratitude.
I thought if I could learn to be grateful, if I could learn to be thankful in this situation, I could learn to be thankful in any situation.
Scott got out of the hospital, and our team recorded that interview with him at his home last year.
I'm just praying, help us not to miss any lesson that you have for us in this. You know, we want to learn everything that you want to teach us through this entire process. And so we still pray that today, that we won't miss today's lesson and what's this week's lesson that you want to teach us, Lord.
After that interview was recorded, Scott underwent a blood transfusion and had many more ups and downs. Tomorrow, Scott and Karen will tell Nancy where they are now in this process. But today, we'll hear a moving message Karen gave while Scott had just undergone the blood transfusion. The story really gets to the heart of the gospel in a fresh way. Nancy will be back at the end of the program. But first, let's hear from Karen Melby.
Our story began back in August 5th, actually. My husband, Scott, had been very, very ill, just not feeling great for several months. But it came to a head on that weekend, and we were out at our cottage on Lake Michigan, and he just was feeling horrible. So that Monday morning, he got up to go to work, and I said, Scott, you really need to go to the doctor. So he did. He went in. They drew blood. You know, long story short now, I get a call from his physician saying, Karen, we can't reach Scott. He had blood drawn, but he needs to get to the ER. He had gone home and was so weak and tired. He had just fallen asleep and couldn't answer the phone. So I reached him. He went back to the emergency room. They immediately admitted him. A week later, we discovered that Scott had been diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Now, as this was devastating news to us, we knew that we have a God who is a gracious God, and we trusted him. And we thought, well, you know what? We'll just take this one step at a time and trust God through this. And we asked God to give us eyes to see this the way he saw it. And I'm thankful that that was our prayer, and that actually was Scott's prayer, that he wanted to hold on to God's promises. He said, you know, Karen, this is not anything that is a surprise to God. He obviously had this as part of a plan for our life, so we need to go forward trusting him. We prayed all those promises, and through our tears, we just, as I said, begged God to help us to see it his way. The plan was that they were going to do aggressive chemo, and I'm going to scurry through this part because he was in the hospital for close to 8 weeks. They gave him aggressive chemotherapy to rid his body of leukemia with the goal of a bone marrow transplant. That was going to be the only cure. They basically told him, Scott, without a transplant, you will have about 8 to 12 months. This is the only hope for you, is a bone marrow transplant. So we're going to proceed, and, you know, do you have siblings? We're going to test your siblings. And that was the thing. So we asked God to show us direction. And at that point, you know what, really became a spiritual experience for us. Every day we saw God work. Every day we saw God's grace. And as we began to see this with new eyes, it was remarkable how God showed us that this is really truly a picture of salvation. This is what God did when he looked at us and said, you know what? You have a condition that you can't cure. There are characters in this story, and I'll start with by showing, they're going to show you a couple of pictures. This is my husband, Scott, and he's looking pretty good because he'd had a few weeks of rest before he went in, and he'd had several days of chemo, but it hadn't really hit him yet. So Scott in this story, if we want to mirror the story of salvation in here, he's the one in need of healing, right? In our story, as a spiritual healing, we all have a condition. Scott's condition is that he has a bone marrow that's diseased, and that there's no real way for that to be cured unless it's replaced with a new marrow. The other thing that's interesting is that leukemia was the disease. In our lives, just like in God's plan of salvation, in our world, we all have a sin condition that we can't cure on our own. There's a couple other characters in the stories. It's the doctor. The doctor was the one who actually had the plan. He's the one who came up with a system to get Scott from sickness to health. And we had to trust him. We didn't know this guy at all. But we looked at his credentials and we said, you know what? We don't have any other choice. There is no possible way for him to be cured unless we trust this man and trust the credentials and trust his experience. So we went forward with that. Then there's another character in the story, and it's Scott's sister, Dawn. She actually became a perfect match. When they went tested his siblings, Dawn was the one who's, of all the markers that had to be met, there were 10 markers, hers were perfect every single time. And she became the perfect match. Now liken that with our story of God's plan for salvation. He knew that there is nothing that we can do that will allow us to get from a sin condition to perfect healing. He had to send his son, Jesus, who is the perfect match. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that shortly as we get into Galatians. Now, at this point in the story, chemo is wiping out his bone marrow. And it's a pretty dark time. The chemo is killing off everything. But he's been infused with new cells that are going to give him life. In our story in Galatians, when we jump into this part of Galatians, Paul is talking about a new identity in Christ. And I just couldn't get away from how cool it was that this is exactly what has happened to Scott. He has been given a new identity. In fact, when they test his blood, it looks like Dawn's. It is Dawn's DNA. But you know what else is very interesting is that if they were to swab his cheek, it's Scott's DNA. He is a blend of DNA, which is a really interesting medical phenomenon. When I told Scott that I was going to be teaching today and sharing our story, he said to me, well, what exactly are you going to talk about in Galatians? And I said, well, it's interesting because in this passage in the story, in Galatians, the Apostle Paul uses the word justified or justification 6 times in 16 verses. That's an interesting thing that I kind of keyed into, and I wanted to understand that better. And God, again, in his graciousness, helped show me what that meant in terms of Scott's story. So when I told Scott that I was going to talk about justification and the importance of it and the need for it, of course, with his good sense of humor, he said, well, that's exactly what I've been telling you we need, just a vacation. Oh, let me talk about what that is for a second. First of all, let me read to you a verse that is Galatians 2, and comes from verse 16, where Paul says, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. There's 3 things going on there in that verse. First of all, he says, a person is not justified. What that means, you have to assume that there's somebody else doing the justification. The word justification actually is a courtroom term. It's a legal term. you know, declaring somebody innocent, or you're justified in those actions, okay? The definition is to announce a favorable verdict. In a spiritual definition, the definition of justification is a declaration of righteousness. That means that, listen to this, that God sees us the same way that he sees his sinless son. Is that not unbelievable? That God could literally see us the way he sees his sinless son? Well, I don't think I've ever understood the depth of that. I mean, when you think about the word justified, we get, yeah, it means that you're right. You've been told that you're right, okay? But to be the deeper meaning, to be not only right, but as righteous as Jesus, how can that be? Back jumping into Scott's story, during that time post-transplant, there's probably about 2 weeks where it was just really rough. You know, his bone marrow is dying off, and they're basically bringing him to the point of death. I'll never forget how hard it was to see him sign a consent form for the bone marrow transplant, knowing full well that what that said was, if this doesn't work, if the graft doesn't take, you will die. You will have no more marrow left of your own that will rebuild itself. That was pretty humbling and sobering, I should say. So here we are now. We're waiting. It's a couple weeks post-transplant. He's at his lowest point, and there's all you can do is just wait and pray, wait and pray. God, please, is this working? Help Dawn's cells to be working. Heal his body. Get rid of the marrow, the leukemia. Let this new marrow heal his body. That was our prayer, and we were desperate and we were anxious. And I would ask the doctor, how will we know? How will we know if it's worked? And he said, well, actually, we have this test that we do. It's called a chimerism test. This test will actually measure, once Scott's blood counts come up enough to measure, it will measure the amount of donor blood in his system. And then we'll be able to tell the percentages. And based on those percentages, we'll know how he's doing. I'm like, wow. That's amazing. Okay, so when can we do that? Well, we wait and wait till it's time. They handed us one sheet of paper. And this sheet of paper, basically, it's entitled A Molecular Diagnostics Final Report. And on here, there are a lot of numbers and letters and columns that I have no clue what they mean. But in this column, it says percentage of donor. And in every column underneath it, it's 100%, 100%, 100%. Fortunately, for those of us who are not so medically inclined, there's an interpretation. This post-transplant analysis detected 100% engraftment in peripheral blood of the recipient, Scott Melby. Do you know this report? This meant everything to us. It still does. It gives us peace. It gives us hope for a future. It tells us where Scott stands medically. What is his position with this whole engraftment and this new bone marrow transplant? What does it mean? It means everything to us. Listen, this is what's so exciting for me. This is our chimerism report right here. This word, God's word, tells us where we stand in Christ. It says to us, you know, when the doctor looks at this, he says, Scott, when I look at your blood, I see your sister. I see your sister's blood, and your sister's blood is clean of leukemia. There is no leukemia. You are healthy based on 100% of your sister's blood. This is what justification is for us. When God looks at us, when we have trusted him as our Savior, and we acknowledge that this is not by anything that we could have done, we have accepted, we have entered into salvation, then God says, this is what I see. I see my son. I see your Savior's blood on your life, and it's perfect. There's no sin there. It's been justified. We have a new identity, and that's what God sees. And he looks at us and he says, Karen, I paid for that on the cross. That was killed back there when Jesus took care of it, once and for all. You know, for Scott, the doctor said, Scott, there's nothing you can do. You can make as many carrot and wheatgrass shakes as you want to, and you can take all the vitamins in the world, and you can detox your home. Those are all really good things. But they're not going to get rid of the leukemia. You have to have a complete transplant. God says the same thing to us, and that's what Paul was trying to get across to the Galatians. He's saying, you can't work your way into a saving faith. The Galatians were struggling because they were these new believers, and they had these Jewish Christians coming in who were a little bit confused, and they were stuck in their traditions. They wanted the new believers to do practices like circumcisions, and it was who they could eat with, and all of these things that were law to them. They were so important. And yes, they were important things. They were the things that kept them pure and holy, and they showed them where they were sinful. But Paul is saying, didn't I tell you, oh foolish Galatians, I told you, don't trust in those things. Those are not the things that are going to save you. You need basically a transplant. You need to understand what justification is. You need to understand that you are justified. You are declared righteous, not by what you do, but by what someone else has done. And it already happened on the cross. It's amazing to me. I think what an amazing declaration to literally to be able to say that God sees me the same way he sees his sinless son. There's a verse that I want to hone in on now. It's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I think about this whole picture, and I think about what's going on inside Scott's body. You know, it's no longer his blood and bone marrow that live. It's his sisters who live in him. That is just an unbelievable, miraculous medical miracle to me. But even more miraculous is that you and I, when we have Christ in us, he lives in us. And it is the life that we now live. We live by faith. Scott's chimerism is really great. As I said, it just gave us incredible peace and hope, and it gives us hope going forward. But, you know, it doesn't tell us how we should be living today. It doesn't guarantee the future. It doesn't tell us any of that, really. It's just one page. But this tells us everything. We get to know where we stood before we knew Christ. We get to read about where we stand today. That's what this is. It's just today. But this also gives us hope for the future. It tells us how to live. It tells us what our future is. It tells us our position in Christ tomorrow and for eternity. That's what it tells us. But we have to recognize where we are in that story. One of the things that was just so sweet, it was a couple weeks ago, Scott's family, some of his family came to visit, and his sister Dawn was at our house, and after the long weekend that we were all together, Dawn was sitting at our kitchen counter, and he just kind of came up next to Dawn, hugged her, and with emotion in his voice, just sweetly said, it's all he said, thanks for saving my life. And it was actually quite an emotional moment, and she got kind of teary, and I mean, he said it before, but that particular moment was just sweet. It was this sweet interaction between the two of them. And I stood back on the other side of the counter just watching, and I thought to myself, do I go to bed at night wanting to hug Jesus and tell him, thanks for saving my life? Do I wake up in the morning with that kind of a passion and a gratitude for being saved? I had to ask myself that. It's given us a lot of gratitude for life in a lot of ways, as you can imagine. One thing, too, that I wanted to just touch on is that, you know, these days are difficult still. Scott has had a couple of hard days, even just, you know, last night. And on those days, he thinks to himself, you know, can I really do this? Can I really keep going? Because the journey back to health is hard. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't that just like the Christian life, though? The journey, it's hard, but there's sweetness and there's grace along the way. And what God really wants for us is not to be completely happy. He wants holiness. He wants us prepared and ready for heaven. And he has a plan to get us there. But we have to enter into it and accept the fact that he's doing all the work. And there will be days when Scott says, I wonder if it's working. When do we get another chimerism report? When are we going to know if it's still 100%? We want to know his position. We want to know where he stands, because that helps us get through. And you know what? That's exactly why God gave us his word, because we want to know that too on bad days. When you say to yourself, I don't think I can do this thing called the Christian life. It's hard. And you know what? It is. But there is grace abounding. God softens the blow. And I don't want to tell you that all of the Christian life is like a journey in leukemia. It's not. It's blessed. It's hopeful. But if that's where you are today and you're struggling in your walk with Christ, that's where this gives us hope. That's where we say, you know what? I have to remember who I am. And that's exactly what Paul wanted the Galatians to know. He was so upset with these Judaizers and with them because he's saying, you've forgotten who you are. You've been declared righteous. You don't have to do all those things. Just trust and follow Christ and live by faith and live in freedom. God wants us to live in freedom. He really does. And that's actually what the rest of the book is about. He keeps hammering that thing about it's not by works, but that's why, because he wants us to live in freedom.
That's Karen Melby, helping us understand the gospel in a fresh way. Yesterday, we heard from Karen and her husband, Scott Melby. He told us about those early, excruciating days in the hospital. Through the pain and the life-threatening circumstances, Scott learned to focus on gratitude. One way the Lord taught him that was through the audiobook from Nancy Lee DeMoss, Choosing Gratitude. Let's reflect with Nancy for a few minutes on this important biblical concept. In whatever situation you're in, Nancy says, you're called to be grateful.
So how much gratitude should we have toward God? Super, super abounding gratitude. Abounding guilt. Super abounding grace. And should not our gratitude be as great as the grace that God has shown to us? God has given us grace greater than all our sin, grace sufficient to cover all our guilt. Our gratitude should be as great as the grace that we have received. And I think that's why Paul says to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, be abounding in thankfulness. Be abounding in gratitude. The word is the word overflowing. It's a word picture here of a river that's overflowing its banks in flood season. You just can't contain the flood waters. That's how great our gratitude should be. So Paul says, take a measure of how great was your guilt, and then measure how great is God's grace, His mercy, His kindness, His forgiveness, His faithfulness. Whatever you've done in the past, however far you were from God, however great an enemy you were against God, He's forgiven. He's wiped the record clean. He's given you a new life, a new start, a clean heart. It's abounding grace. And Paul says, take a look at God's grace and see to it that you abound in gratitude.
That's our host on Revive Our Hearts, Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's been reminding you, whatever difficult thing you're facing, gratitude will transform your perspective. I'm pretty sure all of us can apply this message to our circumstances today. Do you appreciate the steady reminder of biblical truth you get on Revive Our Hearts? Would you help us continue to make the program available? When you donate any amount to the ministry, we'll show our thanks by sending you the 2016 Revive Our Hearts Wall Calendar. The theme is Cry Out. The quotes from Bible teachers, the beautiful artwork, will remind you to be crying out to God in prayer through the year. We'll send one calendar per household this month for your gift of any size. Ask for it when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. Tomorrow, Nancy will talk with Scott and Karen about their journey through cancer and in increasing gratitude. She'll update the story we've been hearing this week. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.